بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الحمد لله
All praise be to Allah.
ونستعينه
we praise Him, we depend on Him, we ask His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Him from the evils of ourselves and our deeds. He whom Allah guides, no one will lead astray, and He whom He leads astray, no one will guide. And I bear witness there is no God but Allah, alone with no companions, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His prophet and messenger and servant. In explaining the book of Tawheed, we reached the subjects that defect faith or invalidate it. And that is faith. And one of those things, according to chapter 9, is the materialism theory of life and its malicious effects. They often sometimes use the word nazra, which means the view, materialistic view, and sometimes use the word nazariya, which means the theory. He's trying to show in this chapter that the materialistic view of life defects faith. He's saying there are two theories of life, one materialistic and the other is sound, and each has its own effects. The materialistic theory, or materialistic view, it means restricting man's mind to accomplishing his hasty pleasures, and restricting his endeavors to that range without being able to see its evil consequences, nor strive to avoid it. For he does not know that Allah has made the life of this world as a farm for the next world. He made this world a world of action, and the world to come a world of requital. Therefore, whoever utilizes his life by accomplishing good deeds, he would be prosperous in both. But he who neglects this world loses the second. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, he has lost this world as well as the hereafter, that is an evident loss, end quote. So the metaphor here is that the world we live in is like a farm in which the harvest is going to come in the hereafter. So materialism means not to care about the consequences of your deeds as long as they fulfill your earthly pleasures. Allah says, Allah has not created this world in vain. Rather, He created it for a great divine purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, it is He who has created death and life to try you as to who of you is the best to accomplish good deeds, end quote. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, quote, verily we have made all that is on the earth as an ornament for it, to try them as to which of them is best in accomplishing good deeds. End quote. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us that He created this life for it to be a trial and a testing place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this world easily obtained in this world. He created in this world easily obtained pleasures and the apparent beauties of wealth, children, power, and authority, and the rest of the joys that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only knows. Most people strive only to obtain such pleasures and enjoy them without contemplating their purpose. And they preoccupy themselves by obtaining them while heedless of the world to come. And unfortunately, those are the majority of people.
في سرها يعني في السر من إيجاد هذه الحياة وهو أن تكون دار امتحان ودار اختبار. فمن الناس من لم يعني يتأمل في هذا السر من إيجاد هذه الحياة وأنها دار امتحان واختبار، وإنما
So a lot of people don't contemplate the reason of why we're living in this world and why it has been created, and as long as they can enjoy the
قال
pleasures
فانشغل
of it.
بتحصيلها وجمعها والتمتع بها عن العمل لما بعدها، بل
that caused them to deviate from doing good deeds and working in this life into obtaining as much pleasure as they can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them that they say, quote, "There is nothing except this present life of ours and we shall not be resurrected," end quote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, quote, "Those who do not look forward to meeting us and are content with the life of this world and feel at rest with therewith, and those who are heedless of our signs, it is those whose abode is a fire because of what they earned," end quote.
وقال تعالى
من كان يريد الحياة الدنيا whomever desires the present life and its joys we will fully repay them for their works in this life and they shall not be wronged therein, end quote.
أولئك الذين ليس لهم في الآخرة إلا النار وحبط ما صنعوا فيها.
The verse continues, those are they who shall not have nothing in the hereafter save the fire, and that which they wrought in this life shall come to naught, and vain shall be what they used to do. Another continues, this threat is served to those who uphold this belief, whether they accomplish good deeds in order to profit in this world, such as the hypocrites, or the infidels who believe in neither resurrection nor requital, such as the people of ignorance, and those who subscribe to destructive schools of thought, such as capitalism, communism, and atheist secularism.
القسم الأول من يريد الحياة الدنيا يعني يعمل الأعمال الصالحة يريد بها الحياة الدنيا كالمنافقين والمرائين أهل النفاق وأهل الرياء يصلون ويصومون.
So the verse is discussing
الحياة الدنيا بصلاتهم وصيامهم وحجهم.
Whoever desires the present life and its joys, and the author is dividing those people into two. The first are the people who actually do good deeds but only for earthly gain, such as the hypocrites. They do good deeds while they don't believe in their hearts, so they're only doing it for earthly gain. And the other subtype are people who are simply the non-believers or the infidels, etc.
قال أو كانوا من الكفار. يعني القسم الثاني من الذين يريدون الحياة الدنيا هم الكفار.
And that's the second subtype of those people whose only desire is this earthly life.
كحال أهل الجاهلية والمذاهب الهدامة من رأس مالية وشيوعية وعلمانية إلحادية.
So they're completely oblivious to the hereafter.
مقصوده بالرأس مالية من يبيحون الربا ويبيحون يعني بيع المحرمات.
And so they would deal with interest and usury. They would not pay zakah.
المتعلقة بالأموال.
And they would completely obey their pleasures and what they want and don't want to do.
والعلمانيون الذين يفصلون بين الدين والحياة. فهؤلاء كلهم ممن يريد الحياة الدنيا. يريد بعمله الحياة الدنيا ولا يريد ثواب الله.
The author continues, those who do not appreciate the value of this world, which means to them only as it means to animals, they are worse than animals because they do not use their intellects and exert their efforts, wasting their time for accomplishing things which will not last for them, nor will they live long enough to enjoy them. They do not work for their inescapable fate which awaits them.
قال والبهائم ليس لها مصير.
And animals have no future in life to look forward to, nor do they have intellects to use, contrary to those people. So they have an excuse. They have no intellects to use. But those people have no excuse. Because on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, although He will resurrect all the animals, and he will judge between them, And he will allow all the animals that were treated unjustly to take revenge from the other animals that mistreated them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, return to sand or be dust again, and they would turn to dust again. So there's no Jannah or Nar.
فكل بهائم يعني ليس لها يعني مصير ينتظرها يعني ليست لا تنتظر يعني جنة إن أطاعت ولا نارا إن عصت وليس لها عقول تفكر بها بخلاف أولئك فلذلك أولئك الذين يعني أعطاهم الله تعالى عقولا يفكرون بها وينتظرهم جنة إن أطاعوا
That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them by saying, quote, or do you think that most of them hear or understand? They are only like cattle, and they are more deviant from the past. One quote. So they're basically, they're more deviant from the past than cattle.
وليس المقصود السمع الحسي يعني ليس بهم صمع حسي يعني وإنما يسمعون ولكن هذا السمع لا فائدة منه لأن الفائدة من السماع هي أن
so it's not that they can't hear or they can't see they can use their senses and they can receive vocal signals and they can receive visual input but they can't use it because their minds are shut down from being honest with themselves and thinking about it objectively.
Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala has described such people who think only of enjoying this life as lacking knowledge. He says,
because
true knowledge is to know the consequences of your actions in life and what's awaiting you in the hereafter.
آخر لن ينفعه بشيء.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, but most people do not know. They only know the accomplishments pertaining to this world, but they are heedless about the world to come. End quote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, but most people do not know. It means they don't know the bountiful or the beneficial knowledge that would save them on the Day of Judgment. So the verses are describing them as not knowing, but they also know something. And what they know is only the accomplishments pertaining to this world.
أشياء يعني من ظواهر الحياة الدنيا وهم عن الآخرة هم غافلون عن الآخرة فلذلك استحقوا أن يوصفوا بأنهم لا يعلمون قال فهم وإن كانوا أهل خبرة
المخترعات such people have expertise in inventions and industries but they are ignorant and do not deserve to be described as knowledgeable because their knowledge does not go beyond the accomplishments of this world. This knowledge is defective, and its people do not deserve to be given the noble title, scholars. The title scholar is to be given only to those who know Allah and are fearful of Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, only the scholars among His slaves fear Him. End quote. So to give the title scholar to someone who does not fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
يعني في الفيزياء أو الكيمياء أو الطب أو كذا وهو لا يخشى الله تعالى فليس بعالم
is not fair because يعني بين أن أهل خشيته the true scholars are the people who fear Allah according to what he says سبحانه وتعالى And to give an example of materialistic people is what Allah SWT mentions about Qarun and the treasures that he gave him, that Allah SWT gave him.
استمتاع ويفعل الإنسان فيها ما يشتهي وما تهواه نفسه بدون تفكير في عواقب الأمور من هؤلاء قارون
الله سبحانه وتعالى
الذي أعطاه الله تعالى يعني كنوزا عظيمة وقال سبحانه وتعالى عنه فخرج
so
على
he came out to his people in his group.
قال الذين
those who were desirous of the life of this world says they said
إنه لذو حظ عظيم.
Oh, would that we have similar to what Qarun has given. Truly, he is of great fortune. End quote. So those people envied him and they wished that they had his wealth. And they described him as a man of great fortune according to their materialistic thinking. This is the case of infidel countries nowadays, which enjoy theological, industrial, economical progress. Those Muslims who have weak faith, they admire them without considering the infidelity of those people and the evil fate which awaits them.
إلى حال البلاد يعني التي فيها تقدم صناعي واقتصادي وكذا وهم بعيدون عن الله تعالى وبعيدون عن
So a lot of Muslims envy Western or industrialized people and they say exactly like the people of Qarun said we wish we had like he has
يعني ينسون أن الله تعالى
And they forget that Allah سبحانه وتعالى is more beneficial to them and the bounties of the hereafter are more important than this life.
نظرة إعجاب دون نظر إلى ما هم عليه من الكفر وما ينتظرهم من سوء المصير فتبعثهم هذه النظرة
This materialistic thinking prompts them to admire the infidels and respect them to the point of emulating their conduct and bad habits. But they fail to emulate their serious efforts and preparedness in achieving beneficial inventions and industries. So they imitate and emulate them in their destructive behaviors, but not in their good behaviors that actually help them reach those inventions.
وتركوا التشبه بهم في الجانب الحسن وهذا الجانب الحسن الذي عندهم هو مما يأمر به ديننا وحبه
and those good qualities that caused the Western industrialized world to achieve all its achievements are derived from Muslim values and they are coincidental with Muslim values too. Now the second view of life according to this chapter is the sound thinking of this life. So that view is that man should consider the wealth, authority, and materialistic capabilities as only means to accomplishing good deeds for the world to come.
المؤمن وغيره أن المؤمن ينظر إلى الحياة على أنها وسيلة لا أنها غاية في ذاتها وعلى أن الحياة مزرعة للآخرة
And that life, according to the metaphor we just mentioned, is a farm and for which the harvest is going to be in the hereafter. In fact, this world is not to be condemned for itself, rather commending or condemning should be directing to the accomplishments of the servant. This world is only a bridge leading to the world to come and a source of supply for reaching Jannah. So the author is saying that the mu'min's view of life is such that that life should not really be condemned or commended in and of itself.
سياق الذم يعني والتحذير من التعلق بها او كذلك. قال العلماء ليس المقصود بذم الدنيا هنا يعني ذم
الزمان. Although earthly life has always been mentioned in the context of condemnation in the Quran, but the scholars are not, they're saying that doesn't mean that you should hate life or hate the world or hate earth. But what should be condemned within life is are things that negate faith or preoccupy people from worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if we look at life just by itself, it could have good things or it could have bad things.
إلا بسبب ما زرعوه في هذه الدنيا. الدنيا لم تكن مذمومة في حق المؤمنين وفي حق أهل الجنة لأنهم يعني بسبب هذه الدنيا جعل الله سببا ووسيلة
because life itself can be a reason for good people to reach Jannah according to their deeds.
قال فهي دار الجهاد والصلاة والصيام والإنفاق في سبيل الله.
The author continues to say, this world is the abode of jihad, prayer, fasting, and expending in the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a field of racing for good deeds.
مضمار التسابق إلى الخيرات. مضمار يعني ميدان الذي يتسابق فيه المؤمنون إلى الخيرات.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says about, he says to the people of Jannah, quote, eat and drink joyfully because of the good deeds you did in the days that have gone by. And those days that have gone by are the days of life, earthly life.
تمدح أو تذم بحسب عمل الإنسان فيها. طيب فكانت هذه يعني النظرة القاصرة للحياة نظرة.
So this restricted view of life, the materialistic view of life.
وما تهواه نفسه وغفلة عن عواقب الأمور هذا مما يتنافى مع.
Of course, it causes deviation from Tawheed and defects it.
عمل الإنسان الصالح يريد به ثواب الدنيا ويريد به أجر الدنيا ولا يريد به ثواب الله فهذا كذلك مما يعني
and also doing good deeds only for earthly reasons will also defect faith. Chapter 10 talks about something else that would defect faith, and it's titled Charms and Amulets.
Now,
we're going to start with charms,
or
in Arabic, ruqa,
and
the singular is ruqya. Now, a charm is a spell, either uttered or written, by which a person having an evil effect, such as fever and epilepsy, etc., is charmed.
يعني ليعوذ بها يعني يستعاذ فيها بالله تعالى إذا كانت رقية يعني مشروعة أو يستعاذ فيها بالجن والشياطين إذا كانت رقية محرمة.
And it can be allowed or it can be forbidden according to the entity that is being asked for healing.
كالحمى والصرع وغير ذلك من الآفات ويسمونها العزائم.
And it's also called Aza'im, so it's another name for Ruqa. Now it's two kinds. The first is that which does not include
shirk.
In other words, to recite over a sick person Quranic ayat or any supplications that include names or attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This kind of charm is lawful for the because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself practiced charming and permitted it.
يعني كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يرقي الحسن
والحسن. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم used to is to recite Quran and do supplications for Al-Hasan and Hussein.
ومن كل عين لامة فكان يعني يعوذهما ويدعو بهذا الدعاء ويقول
he also used to
يعني أعوذكما بما كان يعوذ به إبراهيم إسماعيل وإسحاق مثل ما كان إبراهيم عليه السلام
he used to say I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you from the same things that Ibrahim used to seek refuge for his children in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وأجازها. فعن عوف بن مالك رضي الله
عنه. عوف بن مالك رضي الله عنه said, we used to practice charming during the era of ignorance, pre-Islamic. And we asked the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
صلى الله عليه وسلم كيف ترى في ذلك؟
What do you think of that?
كيف ترى في ذلك في هذه الرقى التي كنا نستعملها في الجاهلية؟
So what do you think of those chantings or those charms? And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, show me the contents of your charms. There is no harm in them if they do not include shirk.
لا بأس بالرقى ما لم تكن شركا. قال اعرضوا علي هذه الرقى التي كنتم تقولونها. وما لم يكن فيه شرك فلا بأس به. قال السيوطي
وقد أجمع العلماء على جواز الرقى respecting the permissibility of charms if they meet three conditions.
الأول أن تكون بكلام
first condition is to include the words of Allah, His names or attributes.
إذا توفرت هذه الشروط الثلاثة فتكون الرقية جائزة بإجماع العلماء. الشرط الأول أن تكون بكلام الله بالقرآن الكريم أو بأسماء الله وصفات الله
The second condition is
وأن تكون
to be uttered or written
وما يعرف معنى.
In Arabic or
باللغة العربية أو بلغة معروفة المعنى
or a language that has clear meaning because some charms are written in words that have no meaning like gibberish words
بلغة غير العربية بشرط أن تكون مفهومة للراقي بها ويعرف
so it's permitted that it could be in another language but it has to be understandable
نحو ذلك أو فيها سحر أو فيها كذا وهو لا يدري ولا يفهم معناه الشرط الثالث أن يعتقد أن الرقية
is that the one who carries it or practices it must believe that the charm in itself has no effect rather by or for ordainment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
فالرقية لا تؤثر بذاتها يعني مسألة أنها تجلب النفع أو تدفع الضر فهي لا تجلب نفعا بذاتها ولا تدفع ضرا بذاتها وإنما هي وسيلة أو سبب يعني النفع والضر بيد الله تعالى
So it's only a means to
الراقي أنها يعني سبب وأنها لا تؤثر بذاتها وإنما
to obtain healing from Allah سبحانه وتعالى and it cannot heal anybody by itself.
لا يؤثر بذاته وإنما هو سبب من الأسباب والشافي في الحقيقة هو الله تعالى قد
يتناول
قد يشفى بدون دواء فالشافي في الحقيقة هو الله تعالى ولكن الدواء سبب هو يتناوله على أنه سبب الرقية نفس الشيء يعني يرقي بها المسلم على أنها سبب من الأسباب ويكون قلبه متعلق بالله تعالى وليس بهذا السبب طيب هنا طبعا يعني مسألة يعني من مسائل الخلاف يعني هو
one issue of contention here is that
نقلا عن السيوطي الرقية إذا توفرت فيها هذه الشروط الثلاثة فتكون جائزة
the author mentions those three conditions then it's unanimously permissible
فيها يعني
Now, sometimes a charm can be from other than the Quran, and it can contain words that were not mentioned by Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but they can also contain words that are clear in meaning, and they contain no shirk.
هل يجوز أن يؤلف الناس
so can we make up charms
للرقية
or رقى that are not narrated to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم but have good meanings and contain no shirk and don't contain any gibberish.
All
the scholars have permitted that.
And
because they said, the default about ruqa is that they're permissible. Because Rasulullah sallallahu says, which means there's no harm in them if they don't include shirk. So he
استعملها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أو أقرها أو كذا يعني عبارات كان الناس يستعملونها.
Because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم approved some charms that people used to use commonly that did not contain shirk. For example, from among the ruqa of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم
إذا خرج الإنسان قرحة
is that if someone had an ulcer, Rasulullah used to lick his finger and dip it in the sand of Medina. And of course it can be done with any other soil. And he used to place his finger over the place of the pain, and he used to say تربة بعضنا بريقتي بعضنا, which means he used to say the soil of our land with the saliva of ourselves is the healing of our sick by the will of our Lord. And some of the Sahaba, used to use charms against envy or the eyes of envy, saying Habsun Habis wa Shihabun Thomas, etc. And those words did not contain any shirk and did not contain any gibberish. They're more like a supplication to withhold the harm of envy.
فرجع البصر كرتين ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير. ينقلب إليك البصر خاسئا وهو حسير أو كذا يعني لدفع العين أو كذا. يعني حتى اختيار آيات مثلا للرقية
they would choose verses
صلى الله عليه وسلم مثلا. فالقصد أن كثيرا من
from the Quran sometimes.
الأصل في الرقى
so
ليس بالضرورة أن تكون
the default state of رقى
أي رقية
is that they're allowed.
وجدت نافعة طالما خلت من ألفاظ الشرك وكذا حتى ولو تكون يعني منقولة بصيغتها وحروفها عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فيكون الأمر يسير. قال وكيفيتها
now the procedure
كيفية الرقية أن يقرأ وينفس
it's recited to have the charm recited and blown by mouth on the sick.
بعد القراءة يعني النفس النفس والنفخ النفخ الذي يكون معه يعني رذاذ يعني خفيف أو ريق خفيف يعني لا غير البصاق يعني أوكي النفخ اللي هو النفخ يعني كان نفخ إيه خفيف أو كذا وقد يأخذ معه يعني لا يكاد يرى أو يعني يصل يقرأ وينفس على المريض أو يقرأ في ماء ويصفاه المريض
يعني or to recite in a vessel or a cup of water and for that cup to be to be given to the sick person to drink it
فيكون نافعا للمريض بإذن الله تعالى وفيه شفاء بأمر الله. قال كما جاء في حديث ثابت بن قيس أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أخذ ترابا من بطحان
some sand from Butthan, which is a valley in Medina, and he put it in a cup and then he
من تراب المدينة هذا الوادي وجعله في قدح ثم نفث عليه بماء هكذا وصبه على المريض
and then he blew in it in that cup, and that he poured it over a sick person.
As-Sulam
also says that one of the best charms is Surah Al-Fatiha, and it's been narrated that someone was bitten by or was stung by a scorpion, and he was a mushrik.
لم يضيفوهم وكانوا يكرهون المسلمين
ومرضى المسلمون and his tribe were very hateful of Muslims.
فلم يلبثوا أن جاءت جارية من القوم تقول إن السيد الحي سليم فهل فيكم راقد؟ بعد أن رفض إذا السيد الحي
a group of Sahaba went to that tribe asking them for help, and they refused to help the Muslims because they were so hateful of them. But as soon as they were turning to go back, one woman came and said, the leader of our tribe is sick. Can any of you give us a charm that would help? And one of them came, and one of the Sahaba came, and he put his hand over that man's head and said, and recited Surah Al-Fatiha. And that mushrik was healed. And he gave them cattle and brought it.
تورعوا عن ذبح الغنم وأكلها حتى يسألوا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
But the companions were a little weary of eating the cattle until they asked Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم about it.
وما يدريك أنها رقية. ثم قال
Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said to that companion, how do you know that Surah Al-Fatiha is a charm? Go ahead and slaughter the cattle and give me a share of it, because and the companions were a little wary of taking any kind of monetary gain from using the Quran, in this case using Surah Al-Fatiha. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said the best thing you can gain, you can have monetary gain from, is Kitabullah, the Quran. And also the Mu'awwidhatain, Surah Al-Falaq and Surah Al-Nas. And that's what Jibreel alayhi salam charmed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم with when he was
وبناته السواحل فسحر
النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم
وأنزل الله تعالى جبريل عليه السلام فرقى
was affected by the Jewish sorcerer who had daughters that were sorcerers as well.
صلى الله عليه وسلم وقام كأنما نشط من عقال يعني كان سم مقيد.
And after Jibreel عليه السلام said those verses, Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم instantly felt better and stood up.
فقل والله أحد والمعوذتان يقول أعوذ برب الفلق أعوذ برب الناس من الرقية وآية الكرسي كذلك.
And the آية الكرسي
وجميع سورة
البقرة and the entirety of سورة البقرة
تصلح للرقية
can be used for that purpose.
عين أو سحر أو كذا.
And if it's
يقرأ آيات السحر الآيات التي فيها إبطال عمل السحرة وكذا مثل قوله تعالى
if it's believed that the sickness is caused by
في سورة البقرة
wizardly acts, then
you can
use verses that talk about magic, such as the verses that discuss the magic of the magicians in Pharaoh's time. And also Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم charmed or used ruqya for someone who was epileptic. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used the final verses of Surah Al-Mu'minun.
فتعالى الله الملك الحق لا إله إلا هو رب العرش الكريم إلى آخر السورة. وكذلك أيضا ورد عن الصحابة طبعا الرقية
بالعشر الأول من سورة الصفات first 10 verses of Surah الصفات for that purpose.
عشر آيات من سورة الصفات وهكذا القرآن كله يعني شفاء وكله بركة يعني.
All of the Quran is filled with healing and barakah, inshallah.
قال وكما ذكر يعني الرقية يمكن أن تكون يعني
And according to the author, the ruqya can be can also be done by the sick person himself. He can put his hand over the place of the pain or the place of the problem and recite Quran, or he can have someone else do that for him, or to recite into a cup of water and blow into it and give it to the sick person so he can drink from it and pour over himself, or to use it for wudu or bathe in it. And it could also be done for it could also be used for animals or even inanimates, such as houses. So if you believe a house has been hit by envy or something, then you can recite Quran into a cup and spray that water around the house. And also animals and even cars.
So
the recitations are all a source of goodness, inshallah, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
ويمكن أيضا أن يكتب يعني ال.
And you can also write down a ruqya.
صحن مثلا بزعفران أو عسل شيء قابل للشرب.
Into a plate.
بزعفران أو عسل أو كذا شيء يعني شيء يعني لا يضر يعني الحبر يعني يؤذي شربه. لكن يكتب مثلا في صحن بعسل أو زعفران ثم يغسل بالماء ويشرب أو كذا أو يصب على المريض أو. قال النوع الثاني من الرقى
you can use honey to actually write with it in a plate, and then you can wash it out and have the sick person drink water from that plate after washing it out. Now the second type of charms is that which includes shirk, or charms through which the help of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sought, such as supplicating other than Allah, or seeking relief from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or seeking the help from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such charms include the names of jinn, angels, prophets, or righteous people. This supplication is directed to other than Allah, and thus it constitutes major shirk. Or if it's written or uttered in other than Arabic, or includes words of vague meaning, and is feared to include infidelity and shirk, and such is prohibited.
يعني لا تكون الرقية إلا بما يعرف معناه سواء باللسان العربي
so it has to have
يعرف العربية ويكون
a sensical meaning. It has
ممكن تكون كلمات من اللغة العربية لكن مركبة
whether it's in Arabic or in any other language, it has to mean something that is clear and easy to understand.
يعني طلاسم وفيها سحر وفيها معاني شركية حتى لو كانت كلمات عربية لكن يعني مرتبة بطريقة لا تفيد معنى.
A lot of charms can contain Arabic words that are without sequence, for example, so that there is no meaning to them. Or they may contain words that are simply gibberish that are not understandable to anybody, including the person who wrote them.
قال لأنه يخشى أن يدخلها كفر أو شرك ولا يعلم عنه. هذا تعليل عدم جواز الرقية بما لا يعرف معناه.
So the reason for
يخشى أن يدخل كفر أو شرك ولا يعلم.
The reason why we cannot use gibberish words is that those gibberish words can contain infidelity or shirk.
طيب الكلام عن التمائم. التمائم وهي جمع
تميم
وهي ما يعلق بأعناق
الصبيان
بدفع العين.
The singular is tamima,
and
it's an amulet which is hung around children's necks to protect them from envy. It may also be worn by adults, men or women, to ward off evil. And it's two kinds. Some people hang a small shoe, for example, or a small like a star shape or anything that looks like anything.
أو ما يعلقه الرجال والنساء أيضا أو يعني على أنفسهم أو على بيوتهم أو دوابهم أو كذا بغرض إيه دفع العين أو نحو ذلك. النوع الأول من التمائم تمائم قد النوع الأول ما كان من القرآن.
Which includes parts of the Quran or some of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. So it's words basically. Oh, I'm sorry. Charms are words. They're spoken words. But amulets are written down and they're hung. They can be hung on as necklaces or they can be hung on walls or
anything.
So those amulets are divided into two types according to what they're derived from. The first one is that which includes parts of the Quran or some of Allah's names and attributes, and is worn around the neck for the purpose of healing. Now this kind of amulet, scholars are at variance concerning wearing them. Some scholars believe in its permissibility. According to Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As, quoted a statement of Aisha implying its permissibility.
التمائم بالقرآن أباحه عبد الله بن عمرو بن عائشة.
So one of those scholars قال أبو جعفر عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص and according to Aisha, Abu Ja'far al-Baqir and Ahmad ibn Hanbal both considered the command of prohibiting wearing them to apply only to those amulets that include shirk.
يعني هذا الفريق من العلماء الذين أباحوا تعليق التمائم من القرآن حملوا الأحاديث التي فيها النهي عن تعليق التمائم من تعلق تميمة فلا أتم الله له. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال من تعلق تميمة فلا أتم الله له.
He who hangs an amulet, Allah سبحانه وتعالى will not. Or he said, whomever hangs a tamima, may Allah سبحانه وتعالى never give him what he wants. And that's some scholars believe that this hadith only refers to the amulets of shirk. The second opinion is prohibiting wearing them on the statement of Ibn Mas'ud and Ibn Abbas, who quoted the statement of Hudhayfa and Uqba ibn Amir and Ibn Aqim, which was also adopted by a number of Tabi'in and the companions of Ibn Mas'ud and Ahmad, and considered by the latter generations as prohibited using as a proof of the following statement of Ibn Mas'ud. He said, quote, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that some
أو يقول في الرقى والتمائم
that some of charms and amulets and tiwala constitute shirk. Now, tiwala is a spell which is used to make a man love his wife or the other way around.
يكتبون طلاسم معينة أو أشياء بزعم أنها تحبب المرأة في زوجها أو الرجل في زوجته. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الرقى والتمائم والتولة شرك. فكما ذكر يعني فريق من العلماء
أخذ هذا الحديث على عمومه,
قال التمائم شرك
فيها
كل أنواع التمائم حرام
and generalized generalized shirk onto all kinds of ruqa and tama'im and tiwala.
التي من القرآن فجائزة, وقالوا هذا مثل الرقى, يعني نفس الحديث قال فيه الرقى والتمائم والتولة شرك, لكن الرقى منها ما هو جائز ومنها ما هو ممنوع, فقالوا التمائم كذلك منها ما هو جائز.
The other scholars have made the condition of containing shirk the condition for
المؤلف يرجح
for
القول بتحريم التمائم حتى لو كانت من القرآن. قال وهذا هو الصحيح.
The author says that the second opinion is right due to three reasons. The first is the general prohibition of wearing them.
وجدنا أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رقى وأذن في الرقى وقال لا بأس بالرقى. وجدنا
we'll talk about strictly amulets right now.
لكن بالنسبة للتمائم لا نجد حديثا عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه كتب تمائمه وعلمه.
Because with charms we see that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم used them when they did not contain shirk. But for the amulets Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم did not ever use them and there's no reported authenticated hadith allowing anybody to wear them. So the second reason is barring access to what may be conductive to the unlawful, barring access to what may be conductive or conducive to the unlawful.
التي من القرآن ستكون زريعة أو وسيلة ليعلق الناس
The author is saying if you allow people to use tamam, even if they were of Quran, that would be like an invitation for people to hang things that are not from Quran or that can contain shirk.
The third
reason is that if one wears an amulet containing Quranic ayat, he is apt to carry it with him into washrooms or while relieving or cleansing himself or the like, and that is not allowed. And so, of course, to be more careful of shirk, it's better not to hang those amulets. Now the second kind of amulets that are worn by people but do not include parts of the Quran, such as beads, bones, seashells, threads, shoe soles, nails, names of Satan and jinn, or any talismanic items. This is absolutely prohibited and constitutes shirk because it is considered as an attachment to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
فهذا من الشرك وهو محرم قطعا وهو من الشرك لأنه تعلق على غير الله سبحانه وأسمائه وصفاته وآياته, لأنه تعليق القلب بالنعال ومسامير والأشياء.
So to have your heart be attached to shoe soles and nails and seashells instead of Allah سبحانه وتعالى and His attributes and His words.
وفي الحديث من تعلق شيئا وكيل إليه.
Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says, "He who wears a thing shall be committed to it."
And quote. هذا الشيء ينفع ويضر. خلاص الله تعالى يكله إلى هذا الشيء ويعني ولينفعه هذا الشيء أو يضره.
So instead of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helping that person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will just let that thing, whatever it is that he hung, to help him if it can. Of course it can't, so it's more of like a sarcastic statement.
يعني يمنع عنه حفظه ورعايته ويتركه لهذه الأشياء لتحميه وتنفعه، هي لا تنفعه بشيء. يوكله الله إلى ذلك الشيء الذي تعلقه، فمن تعلق بالله وانتجأ إليه وفور أمره إليه كفاه وقرب إليه كل بعيد ويسر له كل عسير.
Therefore he who resigns to Allah seeks refuge in him and commits his affairs to him, Allah will suffice him and make the difficult easy for him. He will shorten the distance of his trip. But he who attaches himself to creatures, amulets, medicine, or graves, Allah will abandon him to what he attaches himself. And of course, the author does not mean that you shouldn't use medicine, but if you feel or believe that medicine in and of itself is the only reason for healing, or the main reason for healing, then that's what's forbidden. But if you believe that medicine is a cause, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that cause, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the ultimate reason for healing, then that's okay.
من القبور ليشفيه وينجيه من الشدائد أو كذا. وكله الله إلى ذلك الذي لا يغني عنه شيء
ولا يملك
له ضرا ولا نفعا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will abandon him to what he attaches himself, and nothing will avail him of those things that have neither harm nor benefit to extend to him. As a result, he severs his relation with Allah and defects his own creed. It is the duty of the Muslim to safeguard his aqidah or creed against all defects. He should not take unlawful remedies nor go to hoax healers seeking remedies from them, because they defect his heart and creed. He who depends on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will suffice him. Some people wear these items on themselves when they are not suffering physical ailment. Rather, they suffer imaginary ailments such as fear of envious eyes and jealousy. Therefore, they carry amulets in their cars or on their animals. And of course, as we know, the evil eye is true. Rasulullah ﷺ has told us about it. But to use things that are unlawful or contain shirk to fend themselves from evil is not allowed.
فكانت هذه الأشياء يعني كلها مما يعني يتنافى مع التوحيد أو ينقص التوحيد.
So we finished talking about things that defect or invalidate faith. Next time we'll be talking about the ruling on swearing by other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or seeking means of access to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through a human being. Do you have any questions? We'll stop here, inshallah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit us from what we've heard and said. Subhanakallahumma rabbana wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.